if all the news about geopolitical crises is enough to send you screaming into your own backyard for some peace and quiet, you might be interested in our next guest. Jim Welsh has been an activist on sustainability issues for many years. I'm here with Jim Welsh, a representative from the Initiative of Post-Earth Arts Cooperative, and he works with Living Soil. Jim, can you tell me what Living Soil is?
Tatiana, thanks for having me here. Living Soil is, I'm referring to a popular notion in the permaculture and the urban gardening community in recent years that soil that has a lot of microscopic life, you know, nematodes, protozoa, fungi, all that sort of thing, is a better environment for growing plants.
Is it different than like composting soil, or is that, how is it different? Or is it different, rather?
Well, certainly a lot of people grow things in just plain compost and with some success, but the particular mix that I'm working on involves some compost plus some other ingredients. I start with what I'm calling woodland loam, for lack of a better term. So this is simply soil that I've dug up from my woods. And I like that because I know it has a fair amount of fungi in it. Mm-hmm. So it's a source of fungi for my mix. And then compost. And in this case, I managed a booth at the farmer's market, the Troy Farmer's Market, which, and one of the activities we do there is we collect kitchen scraps, food scraps from people in the neighborhood and also from vendors. And so I've taken some of that home and started a compost pile in my backyard. And actually, I've accumulated quite a bit of that compost now. And so that's an ingredient that I use in the soil. I also use rock dust. Rock dust is a potent source of minerals, and not just, you know, we all hear about, you know, the sort of commercial fertilizer with phosphorus and potassium and maybe some calcium. Mm-hmm. Rock dust is going to have a full spectrum of minerals in it, including minerals that, while they may not be needed by plants in large quantity, they may be vital to the plant being healthy and growing well. Things like, you know, magnesium and I don't want to pretend to know what what all those minerals are that the plants use. And then the last thing I add is biochar. And biochar is something that's sort of gained recent awareness after a discovery of a soil in the Amazon rainforest in about 1992. The notion that no one is quite sure why biochar is producing good results. People are reporting great results from including biochar in their soil. The current speculation is that along with the in support of the concept of living soil, biochar, which is you know, really a largely hollow matrix of carbon, you know, in other words, it's full of nooks and crannies. The speculation is that it provides a favorable habitat for microscopic soil life, for soil microbiota, and but the other thing it does is it can also hold water. So if you have a dry spell and you have a fair amount of biochar in your soil, chances are it'll retain water better than soil without it.
Interesting. And then can you also tell me about the initiative for Post-Earth Arts Cooperative? What exactly is that organization?
Well, that's my current name for a family of businesses I'm hoping to launch, and the Living Soil Initiative is just the first. And technically, it is a monoperative because it's just me, but anyone who's interested in joining, let me know.
Okay. And so the Living Soil, how long have you been working on the Living Soil project?
Well, I started building the compost from the farmer's market back in the spring, in April. And other elements, you know, the biochar is something I've been making over the years. I haven't made any recently, but 3 or 4 years ago, I was experimenting with how to do that and came up with a fairly reliable method for producing it, and one that isn't like totally smoky, mm-hmm. like it was done traditionally in the 19th century and so on. And rock dust is something I've learned about. The rock dust we're using comes from a quarry in Vermont. I would like to use the rock dust from our quarries here locally, out Route 2. There's a couple of quarries there. But our understanding is that that dust has a fair amount of naturally occurring arsenic, mm-hmm. and we just do not mix that in with our soil.
What is the plan for the cooperative?
Well, I'm heavily involved in the transition movement. I don't know if probably most of your listeners are familiar with the Transition Towns movement. If you're not, basically the Transition Towns is centered on the recognition of the three global crises of our time: energy, environment, and economy, and the further recognition that meaningful solutions to those problems are going to come from the bottom up as opposed to from the top down, and hence the idea of organizing at the town level. So Transition Troy was formed, I'm not sure, 7 years ago, something like that. And, you know, we look at a lot of ideas that we as a community could adopt to bring us into more sustainable living. So living soil is just one of the many things that we've looked at. You know, diverting food waste from the waste stream.
Right.
And, you know, right now, the city of Troy, as I understand it, probably spends $300,000 a year in carting costs for the portion of the waste stream that is compostable, that could otherwise be composted here.
It's a lot of money.
So if we were able to separate it out and produce compost here, not only would we save the $300 in carting fees, we also would have a sellable product.
Right.
The city could then, you know, get some further revenue to help with the fiscal bottom line.
I see. And so it's more of just the mission. You know, I think a lot of people in the area are really just looking at ways how they could help the community and how they can, you know, kind of help the greater issue. And so it sounds like for you, the living soil is, you know, maybe a small step in that direction.
Yeah. You know, when people ask me, what is the objective of transition?
Mm-hmm.
I say the objective is culture change. It is changing our culture to live in a more sustainable way. And that's not really something you can dictate, I don't think, as a practical matter. But what you can do is demonstrate sustainable alternative ways of living that are sustainable. So this is, for me, this idea of producing living soil and selling it as a product is a way to demonstrate and being very tangible about it in the sense of, you know, here's a real thing you can do to improve your own soil, whether it be your raised beds or container gardens or whatever. I think that's the most practical method for transition to achieve its objective is to demonstrate sustainable alternatives.
I think I have to agree with you. I think there's a moment where we, you know, say, oh, well, we should do all these things. And at that point, it's up to us to start, you know, to begin to do these things. And when everyone begins to do those things, now we have a culture change. And so I totally understand what it is you're talking about.
Can I just say we are selling the soil at the farmer's market, Troy Farmer's Market, on Saturday and every Saturday in October. Come by and get your half cubic foot keeping it local bag of living soil. And we're also not at the market, but we're also doing what we call sunny window winter herb gardens. That's something you can order. If you want to get more information, I encourage you to visit our website, post.hudmo.org. That's post as in posting kill, P-O-E-S-T, .hudmo as in Hudson Mohawk, .org.
My name is Tatiana. I'm here with Jim Welch, the founder of the Post Earth Arts Cooperative.